Welcome to The Daily Dose, where we are currently walking through an overview of the entire Bible. Join us today as we learn the story of Scripture and see God's redemptive plan through Christ from cover to cover. Let's listen to Matt Reister, Director of Christian Crusaders and the Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. In previous texts, we learned about Stephen, who was a Hellenist or a Greek-speaking Jew who had become a Christian, and how the apostles in this early church had chosen him and six other people to make sure that the widows were no longer skipped over in the distribution of food. In that role, Stephen was seized by the Jewish leaders. He was brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, and he gave a scathing speech. And eventually, in the most recent text that we read, Stephen was stoned to death. Before we go any further, I want to thank the Family Leader for being our Daily Dose devotion sponsor. You can learn more about the Family Leader in the announcements at the end of this devotion. And as always, thank you to the Family Leader for their support. The headings that are in most of our Bibles, the titles for sections, along with the chapter numbers and the verse numbers, none of those things were part of the original Greek or Hebrew in the Old Testament manuscripts. Rather, those things were added quite a while after Scripture was originally written, and they were added by well-meaning people who wanted to make Scripture, the Bible, more easy to navigate. And for the most part, those divisions in the text are helpful. But once in a while, I think they get in the way of us fully grasping what's going on in the text. And I think we've got an example of that right here. And it probably doesn't matter a whole lot, but it does give me the opportunity to say this again so we don't fall in the trap of putting verse, divisions, or titles, or headings on the same level that we put inspired Scripture. In our previous text, here's what the last few verses said, starting in chapter 758. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, Stephen called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Period, end of section, end of chapter, and then we go to the next chapter, chapter 8, verse 1. Here's what it says. And Saul approved of his execution. I just think that that belongs with the previous section, and that division feels awkward to me. Probably doesn't matter a whole lot, but thought I'd mention it here since we're looking at it. Let's continue to chapter 8, verse 2. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Short little text here, but there's a few things that we want to pull out. Number one, something about Stephen's martyrdom, something about whatever triggered the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, to get in a frenzy and throw him outside of town and have him stoned, spilled over not just to an act of aggression against an individual Christian, as had been the pattern previous to this, but now it seems like it's just open season on all Christians. There was a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And of course, the church in Jerusalem refers to the body of believers in Christ in the city of Jerusalem. As a result, they were scattered to the regions of Judea and Samaria. And ironically, this seems to fall right in line with the strategy that Jesus laid out in Acts 1:8. Jesus said to the disciples, this is prior to Pentecost in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the situation where Stephen is martyred and then a great persecution comes against the church in Jerusalem, leading Christians in Jerusalem to scatter to regions of Judea and Samaria, they're just naturally scattering because they're trying to run for their lives from this great persecution that has come out. And at the same time, this scattering so that the word of God, the gospel, people talking about their faith to others in other parts of the area who don't know Jesus yet, this is very much in line with God's original plan. In fact, some have suggested that the stoning of Stephen wasn't just allowed by God, but that it was caused by God to create this exact effect. Now, obviously, this opens up a huge can of worms about why would a loving God allow this kind of pain or tragedy or hardship to come into someone's life? Obviously, what the Jewish leaders did to Stephen was wrong or evil in a moral sense, and so we certainly can't lay blame for that at God's feet. But somehow this mystery of God's sovereignty over the affairs of men and him using the decisions that men make to advance his purposes comes to light as we look at and think about this text, this event. Something interesting happens in verse 2 here. It says, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. I did a little bit of studying on who are these devout men, and I was actually surprised. I assumed that it was referring to devout Christian leaders, new Christians in the church in Jerusalem who took Stephen's body and buried it. But there seems to be consensus among scholars that these devout men refer to Jews, devout Jews who maybe observe this situation, maybe have an openness to the teaching of the gospel, maybe have an openness to trusting Jesus as Messiah, but haven't fully come out and declared their trust in Jesus, but who saw this all take place and thought of it as some kind of an injustice. So these devout men, pious Jews, somehow they admired Stephen. Somehow maybe they're secretly inclined toward Christianity. They took his body and buried it. Not only that, but they made great lamentation. Lamentation is sorrow, regret, maybe even repentance on behalf of the people who killed Stephen. We're sorry that this happened, and they're mourning the death of Stephen. Fascinating that God is at work even among those who wouldn't yet call themselves Christians in this way. Then it finishes out by reminding us that Saul continues to ravage the church, going house after house, persecuting men and women who are Christians. Here's the big idea with this text and the one before it, I think. Luke is the author of Acts, the gospel writer Luke. We could sometimes think of Acts as second Luke, and he certainly has an agenda in the way that he's starting to write in these last few verses. For the first time ever, in chapter 7, verse 58, we were introduced to Saul. And then Luke mentions Saul again in chapter 8, verse 1, just a couple verses later, and then we hear of Saul again in 3, where we're reminded before this section wraps up that Saul continued to ravage the church. Luke is setting it up so that there is no mistake in the minds of his readers that Saul was a bad dude. When we were talking through this text around the dining room table today with my kids, I asked them to mention an adjective that describes in their mind what we know about Saul. One of my daughters said troublesome. I think that would be an understatement. My wife said furious. Luke is certainly painting a picture of Saul as a furious guy, no question about it. One of my other daughters said her adjective was bold. I asked her to clarify what that means. She said he's very bold. He's willing to act on what he believes in. And at this current time, those actions are horrific. They're anti-Christ. My adjective was passionate. Saul's certainly passionate. And I think Luke is trying to paint a picture in our minds that this Saul guy is a bad dude who has a lot of passion. He's certainly troublesome. He's certainly bold. He's certainly furious. But hang on to your hats when you see what God does with Saul. Now, many of us know the rest of the story already, but it's interesting to see how Luke is framing it here in our first introduction to Saul. We'll hear more about him through the remainder of Acts. But before that, we're going to hear about a guy named Philip. So come back next time when we talk about him. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
This is The Daily Dose, a podcast of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Please subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify podcasts, or download the free Christian Crusaders app and share with a friend. Also, prayerfully consider supporting our ministry at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you can find our weekly 30-minute radio broadcast airing on stations around the world since 1936, and where you can listen to our Conversations podcast featuring inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Special thanks to our Daily Dose sponsor, The Family Leader. God designed three social institutions, the family, the church, and government. At The Family Leader, they are bringing all three together, honoring God and blessing our neighbors. Learn how and join them at thefamilyleader.com. We also want to highlight another special ministry partner, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference. Check out conference videos and schedule of events online at cedarfallsbibleconference.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.